We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We are here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
Hello world, this is Slicko, your host. With me today for episode A of BaseNet Radio is Silent Slade, Kilarathi, and DMAD.
What's up, people?
Yo.
Kilarathi is our guest this week, in place of Morbid, who was unable to make it.
And hopefully he's not tied to a bed again, but we'll see.
Tied up in a closet somewhere.
Nah.
Trying to chew his arm off to get away.
Anyway, we have a few more sections this week, and which is very good. We usually don't have many. We only have three sections, but this is going to be a different week. We have like two different, completely different sections, which is kind of cool. Anyway, any reproduction or retransmission of this material is encouraged. That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net. And if you haven't noticed, this is episode A.
That's right.
The last episode was episode 9. What the hell are we doing here? Doing this in hexadecimal?
Maybe.
Ah.
Looks like.
Interesting.
Safe hex.
Anyway, it's time for our first section, which is not news for once. We'll tell you what it is when we get back. It is the guest interview section. So we get to interrogate Kilarathi this week.
I'll bring out the heat lamp. Hold on.
I ain't do it. I never seen a girl's drawers before.
don't let us stick W on you.
W? Oh, no. Not that thing. Not that
almighty
no.
flying cake. Death from above. Anyway.
I guess to keep with the name of this section, the guest interview section, we should actually interview him. So, how'd you get started in hacking, the hacking area?
Mr. Hacker.
Mr. Frack Magazine t-shirt.
Well, I'd say pretty much the same way everybody else does. It just seems to be one of those things that you just do when you're a kid, is if you're dealing with computers or any type of electronics. You have a little fun here and, you know, fix this, break that, get other things to work, and eventually you find other people that are doing the same things and, you know, they expose you to more, many other things. And
what? The background music.
Yeah, you kind of forgot.
I completely forgot about the background music.
Oh, well.
No.
Mean pimp like that.
You know I'm super pimp.
So, yeah.
Super pimp.
Dare I play that? No.
Not yet. Gotta wait on that right there. But, if you grew up in the early 90s, mid 90s, you found out about a lot of things that were going down. The crackdowns, arrests. And if you live in New York any part of the time, you're gonna eventually find your way to the 20th Century Beating.
Yeah, you have no choice. Yeah.
Of course, you know, you may be working at a place and the guy says, yo, I'm going to 20th Century Beating, you want to come? Like, you seem to know your shit, just, you know, come on by. But I've gone like off and on for like damn long. Probably the first time I went was like, I was like 16 back in 96.
Oh, wow. You were like Nep's age.
Nah, he's like 12.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, what happened to the homeboy?
I haven't seen him in a few weeks.
I don't know. I haven't seen him since Hope, actually.
No, I've seen him once after Hope.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was trying to break into the security door at the, at the 26th Century meeting when they had the Christmas shit up.
Okay.
They closed it down?
Yeah, exactly. With the lockdown. And scan your bag.
Wait, yeah, I was there for that one, though.
Yeah.
I didn't see him, unless I did see him and I forgot.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, well.
It doesn't matter. Why are we talking about it?
Yeah, the one right after the HopeCon.
It was a few after.
They had their Christmas display up.
Mm-hmm. They had Christmas up already at that point. Mm. You might not have been there.
Yeah, I might have seen that one out.
Yeah, well. We skip a few because of the work thing and the sleep thing.
Yeah.
Sleep?
Sleep.
Yeah, which I have a lack of.
Yeah, who slept during Hope anyway?
You did, CDC boy.
Oh.
No sleep.
Unfortunately, I fell asleep with my shoes on, and...
And the Cult of the Dead Cow came back.
In other words, Silent Slade. Took a marker, wrote, pwned by CDC on my leg.
I'll tell you what, man, it's really hard to write through hair.
Wow.
I got it in there.
Well,
pretty good.
Well, but you gotta say, though, when you're awake for 48 hours straight, slapping random stickers that somebody finds anywhere you see fit... seems to be the funniest thing in the world.
Hilarious. Hilarious. And all those involved.
Some of those are still up, too.
Oh, yes. Still up. Still
oh,
up.
Oh, yeah. At least three. Mm-hmm.
And one of them melted into a light.
Really?
Yeah. It was kind of gooey looking.
Wow.
It's only been on perpetually for like 6 months.
Every time I go over to 20... Not over to 20 century. Every time I go over to Triple H, they still look at me like... You know, we still got those stickers all over the place, right? We're still finding new stickers.
Now, how many stickers did we have left at that point?
Don't let them look at the bookshelf then.
Yeah, like there are some books.
There are some pages that have been omni-scanned.
I remember omni-scanning the bucket. I remember omni-scanning Captain Crunch.
Yeah, the infamous Captain Crunch, who watches you while you poop.
Wow.
That's what? It was a PumpCon question, but
okay.
Some people that went to PumpCon, one of the questions was asked, "Who watches you while you poop?" And the answer was John Draper. And I have quite a few friends that Captain Crunch, the man, the legend, we're hitting on. But I'm just gonna leave it at that because I have too much respect for too much respect for homeboy.
Yeah.
Right.
That background stream, weird. Anyway, what kind of stickers would we be talking about? I don't even think we mentioned the name yet. Would you like to do the honors?
Well, that would be OmniScan. Yes, people, you too can be OmniScanned. All you need to do is send $5 to OmniScan at Slicko.net. That is OmniScan at Slicko.net.
Go with a zero.
That's with a zero.
And if you want to see what the OmniScan stickers look like, just go to omniscan.slickzero.net.
And anyone who has hold of these stickers?
If you can't find that, just roam around the 14th Avenue station.
For the L train.
For the L train. From the 2 train to the L train. Just look around in some obscure places and I'm sure...
On doors, on lights.
On trains. Try a couple of bums, too.
Anyhow, I think we have speaking of OmniScan, didn't you write an email to another radio show?
Yeah, on this stage.
Mentioning OmniScan is almost, let's say, every other word.
Me? I have no idea what you're talking
about. No recollection of that.
Yeah, I...
You OmniScanned Bin Rev Radio.
I OmniScanned Bin Rev. And
like three times? You got Stank to say it, which is great. It's like, what the fuck is this OmniScan?
Stank, if you're listening. Thanks for reading my email. Well, who was it that read my email?
It was Stank talking. Voodoo was it Doug? I think it was Doug. It was either Doug or Rude. No, Doug was the one who had his show for the...
And he also read. He also got OmniScanned.
Oh, right. Because he read my email. To explain that OmniScan was some sort of inside joke. Okay.
Right. But I met Stank Dog for half minute.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a cool man. Cool man. I really respect him.
Yeah, he hooked up with him at Hope after the Hacker Media Japan.
Oh, that's right. After we were like, oh, let's start a freaking show.
Let's fucking do this.
Got my radio.
It was like somewhere around the 50th hour of being awake, and we were like, let's do this. Okay.
Yeah. Because that's when you decide to put on an internet radio station.
When you're half asleep and sleep still trying to get that Bud Light taste out of your mouth. Ugh.
Well, and lots of bucket to sober up.
That was I think afterwards. I don't remember. There were too many bucket parties at Hope.
Oh, that I was serving bucket for one of the bucket parties.
Oh yeah,
is that it wasn't the first one where people were sardines
It was the first one that was in the hotel room. Like I kept on bringing over handles of vodka and just pouring and stirring and handing stir hand.
You forgot the orange juice. You just said vodka.
There's like a pick of me.
We seriously got to get a place somewhere in like
the city.
The city, yeah.
So that one, we can access the studio faster, and two, we can
have our own bucket parties. Yeah.
Ah, correct.
Fuck yeah. Anyway, and one other thing I wanted to mention. We were talking about 2600 meetings, and you know how they have the new bag scanning thing.
Oh yeah. That's true.
Didn't you just run into an interesting incident there with the last, was it a couple weeks ago at the last meeting?
Since they've put in their new, what should we call them?
X-ray machines?
X-ray machines.
What else are they?
There was some other thing, that's what I call them, like freedom of speech, whatever.
Freedom of speech nullifier is a good one.
Basically.
Free speech nullifier. Anyway.
Well, In the place where we meet for our 2600 meeting, they've installed bag scanning equipment and metal detectors and such like X-ray machines. Every meeting since that time, they always look at me oddly when they ask me the stupidest fucking question. Oh, you have a crowbar in your bag? Like, yeah,
it's not really a question. It's more like a statement, isn't it?
Yes.
Like there's a crowbar.
I just love to watch their eyes bug when they're like, "You got a crowbar in your bag?" You're like, "Yeah."
And they don't do anything about it. I wonder if they're allowed to do anything if they even see like something not good in there.
Say something.
He definitely said something. He said, "Dude, you got a crowbar in your bag." You're like, "Is it for work?" And I just look at him and say, "Yeah, it's for work."
Anyways, speaking of 2600, we might as well move this along instead of like recollecting memories of past.
Yeah, it's just a good, interesting incident. So let's go.
But it's Mike's here.
Okay.
Show, right?
Right, exactly.
So let's go on to the next section, which would be BassNet on the Road. This section, BassNet on the Road, is going to consist of clips we put together from recordings we've made from outside the studio. And I might as well roll that clip in for you guys.
Just a little over 1 week ago, a few of us from BassNet Radio were at the 2600 meeting in New York City. After the meeting and after some food and coffee, Mimitron showed us a little trick he learned about those pay internet kiosks that are taking the place of payphones throughout New York and likely many other places. Here's a recording of him describing how to get around paying for the internet on one of these while he was doing just that.
Basically, this internet phone that's on the street, that's around, you know, many different cities, you pay for it and then you can surf the net or make a normal phone call. On the main screen, they have many local attractions that you can find out about, but they also have a quick search. A Google link, you can search for information using Google. Well, I'm basically going to use Google to surf the net without actually entering in any currency. So basically you'll be able to surf the net, go anywhere you want, using what is already in the phone. I'm not doing anything special to this phone.
So it's not even a hack, it's just a usability feature more or less.
Yes.
Or an exploit that we would look at it.
Yeah. So, actually what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Google Translate. I'm going to turn off the caps here. The caps was on. Messing me up here. So I'm going to go to Google Translate. And actually what I'm going to be doing is almost using the browser. There's actually two browsers. There's a kiosk browser and there's actually a browser probably like Internet Explorer or something that's in here. They expect you to use the kiosk browser. So I'm going to find Google Translate language tools here and go to that. And the good thing about this, it allows you to translate all the major languages, but I'm going to...
translate a web page.
Yeah, but I'm not really translating. All I'm going to just say is translate a web page from...
Japanese to English or something that's...
Yeah, any language to English.
Well, if you do something that's close to English, it might mess up a few words.
Right.
So you might want to try like something more like Korean or Japanese, something that you know you won't get.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to type in translator web page where you actually put in the URL. You have to do it this way. Because if you do it through their normal enter URL without actually putting in anything...
It'll ask for 25 cents or so.
Right. But since they allow you to do searches on Google... So, okay, I'll type in slash...
Slash dot dot org, I believe.
Slash dot... And then put another dot?
D-O-T.
Dot org?
I hate these keyboards.
Dot org?
Yes.
Okay.
Org. How are you pronounced?
Okay.
So click translate.
Translate. And it's translating.
And oh wow, look at that slash dot popped up.
And we're at slash dot.
So you could actually surf the web, read your email, do anything else just by using Google.
Yes.
Since it allows anything on the Google domain through.
Yeah.
You're using translate as your address bar.
Yeah, and I believe that they're using content filter, and they're basically saying if anything besides Google is used, don't allow it through. But you are using Google because this translated page is being automatically translated by Google. And you're not viewing the original web page.
The only downside is you have that stupid little bar on the top.
Right. It's like using net zero, you know.
Like 5%. Yeah. And of course the ads.
Yes, it's like banner. Just think of it as banner ads, but you can go anywhere and look at, you know, whatever.
And at this point you can just keep following links because you're within the browser space.
So this is pretty much hobo hacking. You could be living on the streets and be hacking.
Yes. You can get internet access. Basically you can go anywhere and always have internet access. If you really had to.
You could be homeless.
Yes.
And have a Yahoo account.
There's no... You could build a website using their built-in online website building tools. You know, there's no excuse. You can get internet access if you really had to. That's what it's about. I found this out. I'm like, hey, if I really had to, could I do it? And I can. And you'd find this common with a lot of internet kiosks in public places.
At that point, Memetron commented on how cold I looked. And well, it was pretty damn cold outside. Anyway, I believe the point got across that while using a well-known translation trick used to bypass some content filters, you can get free access to the web on internet phones that offer free Google. You'd think they would think these things through a bit more before rolling out a pay-for service such as this one. Yes, it is now time for the news, and now that everybody's finished laughing at the... that I was making fun of myself for being damn cold outside. But... Yes.
It was fucking freezing, so you had a point.
Anyway, in this section, we will be discussing news from this past week in the tech computer industries, as well as any other news we find relevant to the general idea of hacking. We try to vary our sources, so you may hear something on the show that you may not have heard elsewhere.
Well, I heard that elsewhere, but anyway. Let's see here. We got a lot of news this week. And... Let's see... You know, you moved my antenna and now I'm not getting access. That sucks.
Oh, geez. Do I have to do the news for you?
Yeah, keep talking while I get online.
Okay, well, this first article that I printed out is there are server outage leaks.
Server outage leaks?
What? I'm dyslexic again this week. Server outage leaves sidekicks stranded.
Uh-oh.
Everybody, you know, I don't think these sidekicks are getting...
Everybody needs a sidekick.
These sidekicks aren't really getting too much good news. Or at least they haven't been recently. Server trouble left many sidekick users without their data yesterday.
Aww.
Danger's phone is a thin client, and data is stored on the servers at the carrier. Danger itself manages the server, and the carrier business is its principal revenue stream. Outages were reported from all over the continental United States. Danger, which sells the sidekick through T-Mobile in the United States, explained yesterday that some users may experience degradation in service, which is currently being resolved by Danger engineers. The outage affected email, web connections, and messaging. However, one user foresaw the rise of the machines. The machines are playing with our heads. They're going to take over. Judgment Day, he wrote.
What?
I don't know. This is the Register again. They always have those... Yeah, they try to have those funny comments. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but whatever.
Okay, just making sure.
I guess you had to have seen that movie or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
The upside of a server model is that users don't lose their data if the device malfunctions. The server also optimizes connections, which is why the device feels zippier than a standard GPRS mobile. Okay, yeah, that's just basic stuff that people probably already know about how that works. But yeah, I mean, what's with these damn sidekicks? They're insecure. At least
they're cool.
The Hilton's and was.
Easy to lift, as a friend of mine, who I won't name, but when he listens to the show, he'll know who I'm talking about.
What's up? You went to a T-Mobile store, chit-chatted, lifted it, walked out?
No, we was hanging out somewhere and reached around, felt something in somebody's coat, and decided
it was his now?
Yeah, basically.
Possession is 9/10. Did he get other
people's
calls?
It was wretched afterwards. Couldn't
break in it?
He's brute forcing three-digit passwords. Like, well, you only have to work through how many permutations of three digits. That's about what? A couple of thousand numbers?
For three-digit? Wait,
15 minutes work.
Is it after three? Is it like a 5-minute lockout?
Alphanumeric?
No, he has the whole keypad, doesn't it?
Oh, just the keypad?
Just numeric.
Ugh. So there's 1,000, exactly.
1,000.
Unless they count Starn.
Eh, whatever.
Well, I don't think he ever cracked.
He's still working.
Go.
Something to drink
Dr.
there?
Pepper.
So instead of busting on the sidekick as we've been doing these past few weeks, why don't we move on to the next?
Well, I mean, come on. Busting on the sidekicks is fun. They suck ass.
Paris Hilton dropped my docs.
Again. Alright, let's see what else is going on here. I did get a couple interesting stories. The first one I want to talk about is something we covered before. Remember how I mentioned you can get broadband in your home over the power lines?
Yes.
Or you can make home networks over the power lines. Well, a company in Japan, whose name I don't think I can pronounce even if I tried.
That's nothing new, the home network over LANs thing.
Mm-hmm. It's called, let's see. I think it's from Panasonic, but their head researcher, Ingo Chimonetsky, told journalists this week at the CBIT show that they're working on a home networking system that will allow you to connect over the power lines in your home. And what's the standard up to, like, a good 170 megabits per second? Which is pretty sweet when you think about it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
For online service, 170 megabits per second. We're up to, like, what, 10 here?
Did you RTFA? Because I read that on Slashdot anyway.
Read the fucking article?
That's for home networking.
For home networking,
that's
right.
That's not for getting internet access.
No, wait.
Oh, okay.
Read the rest of
but
this.
You're saying that's pretty good. I mean, there's gigabit LANs.
Well, their standard is going up to 14 megabits per second for the broadband.
Oh, for the access from the...
Mm-hmm. For the home, you can...
I don't see that working. Power lines cause enough interference as
exactly
it is.
Exactly the problem. See, that's where I was headed.
Lots of brain cancer.
The reason I brought that up was because their company's thinking of releasing that here. There's like a 50 group company coalition trying to bring it over to the States. And actually, I believe a friend of mine, Gandalf, was doing some research on it because, you know, he was interested in it. It's another alternate way of getting, you know, broadband to your home. And, you know, when your ISP sucks, you got to choose alternatives. So they ran a test somewhere upstate New York. We're able to get broadband service over the power lines to people's homes. Unfortunately, what happens when you generate a lot of electricity over a power line? You pretty much turn all the outside wiring into an antenna.
Okay.
Right, so...
And?
What happened was...
You were broadcasting everybody's information.
They were broadcasting information off the antenna and interfering with local hams.
That's not good.
Not good at all, especially when the local hands were the police force.
Ooh, that's
so
fun.
So, like, they were trying to get information across. I was like, yeah, we have a 404 at... What? At... Where? so on and so forth. Exactly. You can just imagine how much fun that's going to be. Now, could you imagine what's going to happen if this starts to take over in larger sections of the city? Like, imagine New York City with broadband over power lines.
In I don't see it happening.
Manhattan's not going to be a big issue. All the power lines are underground.
Okay.
But start going to Queens, where everything's exposed. Go to the Bronx, where half of it is exposed. You have to find other means of radio communication, and anyone who's a ham...
Either that, or they just start using that on a different frequency.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. It's different frequencies, and a lot of the frequencies they're affecting, I believe, like 10 megahertz and below,
why don't they use,
are amateur radio.
Why don't they use higher frequency? I mean, you could do it wirelessly using 2.4 gigahertz. That doesn't, like, mess with ham or anything.
Yeah, well, that's what the ARRL website is all. They have a story here. It's ARRL.org. And they have...
Then again, I don't know if cables can...
They have a lobby group. They're working on trying to get, you know, get a bill passed where they either use different frequencies or don't even use it at all, depending on how they're going to do it. Because, you know, the electrical companies are pretty much big, huge monopolies that control everything. If Con Edison says we're not going to give you power, then...
So are the cable companies and so are the phone companies, for that matter.
Yeah, but you're getting more choice now. You can actually tell the phone company to fuck off and go VoIP now.
That's true.
Of course, you're still probably relying on your cable company, but you choose one evil over two.
Oh, well.
In either case, it's something you got to look into. If you're interested, if you're a ham radio guy, if you do amateur radio, this is going to fuck you over soon, so you better...
It may. Don't say it's gonna. You don't know.
If it happens,
because you don't know
the low frequencies.
Hopefully,
it's going to.
Hopefully, what they're doing with the low frequencies is just using it as a proof of concept idea to see that it could work, and not to actually put it into see what problems could come up. Obviously, they found one.
Yeah, but see, at other frequencies, where else could it interrupt or bother?
Yeah, well,
at higher frequencies, then oh no, everyone who has wireless services in their house now have problems.
Oh well.
Yeah, it's a pain.
Kilrathi, you found something interesting on. That you just showed me on your computer a moment ago or so.
Yeah, I was talking to Slade earlier about M-Player website being closed for patent infringement. And it's not very clear. I haven't looked into it very, very deeply, but if you go to mplayerhq.hu, I think, what is that, Hungary?
Uncertain.
So.
You'll find that there's a message saying closed for patent infringement. It reads, the European Commission has just passed its directive on software patents, violating democratic rules and procedures to the sole benefit of big non-European corporations in Ireland, and to the detriment of small and medium-sized businesses, parentheses, which comprise 99% of the European software industry and free software.
Yay.
So I wonder which big non-European corporation they may be referring to.
Microsoft! It must be something in the air.
Yeah, it's there's been this little bug going around.
It's horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. Anyway.
So things are not looking very, very good for a lot of our more popular open source projects when it comes to being in Europe and being based out of Europe. But I don't think any of us will be without source code for MPlayer for some time. And if you don't already have MPlayer, well, you just suck.
Well, they have at the bottom, enter the MPlayer homepage while it is still available.
Which is nice. So if you don't have it and you
get the friggin' source now.
Before it's too late.
Fork.
Or if you want, just put up a mirror in some country that's not in Europe.
Yeah,
that might work.
That's true.
Keep this damn thing alive, you know.
And
I wouldn't mind to see mplayerhq.ru. Anyway.
Dot biz.
Dot cx.
Oh no!
All that not again.
Strange, goatee pages.
What is he doing?
Is anybody covering what's going on with AOL Instant Messenger?
I heard about that on Slashdot.
Oh, yeah.
We try to avoid Slashdot news, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's good to, it's good for people who might still be using AIM just to know about it if they haven't been paying attention.
But what? But how does AOL know if you're using AIM or if you're using a, an
AIM
open source project?
Like, yeah, such as Fire or what's the other one? Oh, Fire is.
Fire's for is it, OS X. Yes.
Is it open source or no? Or is it just?
I believe so.
Okay. And what's the other one? Trillion.
ADM. I know Trillion is one.
So, well, they're sort of proprietary.
There's like
they share their code with GAIM, so which is cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
There's a lot of different. They're all sharing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
At least all the ones for Mac, I was looking at them, and they're like, oh, wow, they just switch features with them when they just switch features. Oh, that's pretty cool. So,
I know Trillion and GAIM have a very close relationship. When, for example, Yahoo, a few, was it 6 or 7 months ago,
yeah,
they switched their servers, and there was a way to work around. Trillion had the workaround. They gave it to the GAIM members, and about a day later, they had converted that into a GAIM plugin. You can download a patch, run it until the next release version, fixed it completely.
Yeah, I remember when that happened.
Yeah,
and it happened like a couple of times.
Yeah,
yeah, that's happened
3 or 4 times already.
It's like they keep trying to shake them, but
and then they realize that you might as well just.
What's the damn point? They're gonna break in again next couple of days.
But I wanna. But how do they know the difference of the client that it's using, or
well,
or is it client
when
based
the
that it sends out?
Don't load.
Well,
sorry. That's the
one thing. When I'm using Name, which is a console incurses based client,
I like that one.
Yeah, that's real nice. It's real nice. Automatically encrypts when you're talking to somebody else that's using Name.
Name encryption.
Yeah, Name encryption. But if you're talking to somebody that's using GAIM and they're using GAIM encryption, like all of my friends, and I don't think anybody should not be using GAIM encryption anyway. But it'll show up with ciphertext. You can't read it, but it'll say GAIM encryption. So
right.
it'll send a packet with the header that says, it's probably with the header, that will tell you that it's using the GAIM encryption plugin. So that's kind of broadcasting which client that person's using. But as for what AOL is going to be doing, I think it's more central to the protocol and not exactly the client, because they already know that there are many clients that use it. You can get a GAIM AIM client on your cell phone. I know people that will
T-Mobile,
mess with
T-Mobile, I think, carries it. The Sidekick we were just talking about has
it. Yeah, the Sidekick. Yeah. Go ahead and use that. But long story short, you're going to use AOL Instant Messenger. Please encrypt if you're not, or just use another protocol like Jabber, which is what I'm going to be doing. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking of switching to Jabber.
Yeah, you can get good you can get a decent amount of encryption out of it also, so
that's good.
Well, and it's open protocol.
There was one issue with Jabber that we were talking about, how you have to register at every possible server so that you can keep your own
identity.
Yeah,
if you decide to register at any of the servers for Jabber, I'm still working with Jabber, but of course this guy, no Uzi Monkey, is probably gonna have my balls for talking about Jabber that way. And you're like, oh, you dick. But anyway. Just go ahead and register at each and every Jabber server that you can find. Jabber server that you can find. Listen to a lot of techno. And just, you know, register at, you know, I got Killjoy at star.star. So, you know, any Killjoys out there, and next will be Karathi. You know, just want to get them all covered. So no matter where you are, if you got Jabber, you can probably message me. So, go ahead, yeah.
Anyway.
Be careful what you wish for.
Anybody else hear about AT&T?
AT&T? What did they do now?
Who did they buy?
AT&T agrees to pay fine and change telemarketing practices.
Uh-oh. They're not going to start using VoIP over, like, long distances, are they?
No, this is bad for AT&T.
This is bad?
AT&T agrees to pay fine.
Okay.
Does that sound good for AT&T?
I don't like the other half where change telemarketing practices. They should abort telemarketing practices.
That wasn't me.
Well, because remember that do not call list thing that was going on
a
year
or
2 years
it?
Ago? They apparently were.
Oh, well, good for them.
And that's what they have to pay the fine
for.
It's
very expensive. It's like $500 a call, isn't it?
They also blocked caller ID.
A&I, didn't they? Yep.
Mm. Well, this says blocked the ID feature.
Oh, wait, they blocked caller ID so you didn't know who was calling you? And
yep.
It was a telemarketer?
And it was a telemarketer.
That's lame.
And they were calling people who were on the do not call
list.
Some
telemarketers don't block there. Depends on how smart the telemarketing company was. Oh, that's nice. Good for AT&T. Did they mention how much the fine was going to be? Or they're still working on calculating it?
Let's see. $35,000. Nearly $35,000.
That's nothing. It's pocket change for AT&T. Oh, well. And then yet they fine you for saying fuck on the radio a whole lot more. That's stupid. Anyway. Go on. What else is going on while I look through my other stuff?
Let's see.
I got one. We were just talking about messengers, right? Well, did you hear about MSN?
Uh-oh.
A little bit.
Yeah, well, it's this really bad, horrible chat program that comes with most Windows these days. But, you know, some people will only use MSN Messenger. So if you have, like, a Linux box or a Mac, you have to find another way to get around it. Usually game, if you're on Linux. On Mac, you can use, you know, their own MSN version on the Mac. Unfortunately, Microsoft is cutting support for it, as usual.
Cutting support for the Mac one?
Cutting support for the Mac. So there's no more IE support for Mac. Like, they did that a while back. Now there's no MSN support for Mac. So pretty much they're trying to say, you know, F Mac, get out of my way, as usual. I don't know. What's up with these companies? Don't they understand that you can get another client on the Mac and get on it anyway?
It's not if they understand that. It's if the people know that, that use MSN.
That's the problem, yeah. The people who use MSN will be like, oh, there's no updates. And they're viruses. I should stop.
And buy Windows.
And buy Windows, right. That's what they're trying to get.
Speaking of putting a stop to software, Mozilla puts a stop to its browser suite.
What? Oh, yeah, that's right. I heard
not Firefox. Just the what used Mozilla. To be Netscape Communicator. Yeah.
The whole suite with the email and the...
Right, with the email.
The Composer, I think.
I use that, too.
Yeah, it's...
I use that for Composer, just to throw together.
Well, I mean, people are still working to work on it, aren't they?
I don't know. Not that I've heard of. Well, I mean, they're going to be doing, like, small bug fixes, but no major changes from that point on.
I heard the community was trying to rise up and continue it, like, on their own. Like, someone else wants to take over the project, kind of thing.
Oh, that'd be good to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the whole Mozilla thing was about anyway.
I mean, I would be interested in seeing, once they get Firefox and they get Thunderbird, like...
I was hoping they would merge them into, like, a new Mozilla suite.
Right.
Like, make a... some crazy animal name plus some other crazy animal name combined to make a composer.
But honestly, I find it probably better off that if they had the different sections of the browser suite like split off and have each as well. Because otherwise, if you're using the one package, you're going to get like that much more bloat than you need.
Yeah, but if there's some people who use all of them. They can have one package.
Oh, yeah, if you use all, that's
then
nice.
One package with each individual one. Fuck it. Why not? Mozilla-all and Mozilla Firefox, Mozilla Thunderbird, Mozilla.
Kind of reminds
Dying Squid or whatever.
Kind of reminds me of what's going on with GIMP, Inkscape, and what's the other one?
Inkscape. Okay, and the other one?
The fuck is the other one? The three big open source graphical programs.
Oh, you mean like the GIMP and that?
Yeah, Inkscape, and there's one other. It's probably Soap.
Image Magic?
It's probably Soap Potty.
Soap Potty? Oh, what's going on with them? I haven't heard any news.
They're supposed to be going for like a new interface design. I think that they're actually going to be getting them to coalesce in one interface, kind of like.
Also, one program to rule them all, and in the darkness bind them, kind of thing?
Oh, interesting.
Indeed.
Well, that's nice, because there are some nice things that you can do with different ones that you can... If they put them together, it would work. I haven't used GIMP that much.
I'll use GIMP every now and then.
It's only just to splice up an image or something.
Anyway.
Or spruce up that wallpaper. Just anyway.
Okay, Martha Stewart. Anyway,
Did you know that you can make a wonderful bookcase out of an old Lamy stuff?
Anyway... Alternative browser spyware infects IE, so even if you could still get spyware through Firefox, but it will only infect IE since that's what it's for.
It's beautiful. That's great.
Bill could not see that one coming. Should be not.
So I mean, isn't that great? It's just another reason not to use IE. But this does open up a very important question. What happens when spyware makers start
making spyware for Firefox. For,
exactly.
Then it'll infect you through IE. Sorry. I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, that is going to be a problem.
Can API support it?
Can
the spyware only
Now, here's the bigger problem. What happens when it infects Firefox, but if you're running another operating system, like...
Oh, it won't...
Like Macintosh, Mac OS, or like any Linux distro.
I probably highly doubt it.
Yeah, it's going to be... It's too hard at this point. There's so many people are branching off in so many different directions.
Anyway, in the article, Christopher Boyd, a security researchers at vitalsecurity.org, said the malware installer was capable of working on a range of browsers with native Java support. The spyware installer is a Java applet powered by the Sun Java runtime environment, which allows them to whack most browsers out there, including Firefox, Mozilla, Netscape, and others. Mozilla, Netscape, isn't that synonymous?
Pretty much,
but
yeah.
Whatever. In the original test, only Opera and Netcaptor didn't fall for the install, but Daniel...
What the hell is Netcaptor? Looking that up.
Yeah, Google it. Anyway, Daniel Veditz, who is the head of Mozilla Security, has since confirmed to me that this will also work in Opera and Netcaptor, he explained. Oh, well.
Okay, well...
So it's basically a Java app. So it will install a binary package, but depending on the architecture you're running, it may or may not be able to run it.
Right, exactly. Or if it does run it, it'll run it horribly.
The architecture, or even OS for that matter.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Netcaptor looks like it's a browser who supports, God forbid, tab browsing. And rejects annoying pop-ups, cleans up after itself, it blocks ads. Sounds like it's going to want to be Firefox.
It's a Firefox plugin for IE.
It looks like it's Windows based. I don't know how many versions they have. Let's see. It looks like it's Windows only.
Developers petition Microsoft to continue support for VB6. In other news, I petition these developers to stop using Microsoft. Anyhow.
Oh God! So what happened to that whole .NET craze? They gave up on that and went back to 6?
No. The developers don't want Microsoft to drop support for VB6.
I know, exactly.
Microsoft, the developers don't want to use .NET.
Exactly.
So at least they're
getting it.
Yeah.
I thought everyone.
Can you imagine trying to get some of these kiddies to write their backdoors and trojans in .NET framework?
Ugh. Are you kidding me?
At least they may learn something.
But is it something they really need to learn?
Either way, their mind is going to be corrupted by the dark side.
If it wasn't already.
Learn Python. Viva la Python.
Viva la.
Or just C.
Python fan?
It's been good to me. It's been good to me.
So far, Perl's been good to me. So. I think I... You know what? I have to throw up a page for this. It will be, see, what should I call it? VSC. The letter V, the letter S, the letter C. Mm-hmm. .slickzero.net.
And you're just going to release the code finally?
Yeah, I'm just going to put the simple script I made that runs the virtual sound cart clip player.
Don't forget to put its dependencies in there.
It really doesn't have a...
Well, don't you need...
Besides ALSA and Aplay.
Okay, those
two. It really doesn't have a dependency. You could also change it to support MPG123 or anything. I mean,
that's true.
I had this running on my Mac using Qt Play, which is based off of, I think, QuickTime or something. Mm. But yeah... It's simple, it's got a few modes, anybody can... I just want to put the code out there so people can play with it anyway.
It's a fun little tool.
Yeah.
You can have wonderful clips like, run an example.
Like, what, the, like, a toilet flushing or something? I don't know. Yeah. We, lots of fun little clips, and, you know, Verizon not being forgiving.
Verizon is not as forgiving as I am.
Yes.
Love that.
And also all the intro music and... Oh, well.
Oh, fuck.
I know what you're trying to tell me, dude. But he's cracking up over there. I don't want to make him laugh anymore. Dare I?
Go
dare I
it.
Do it? Or, Or, you know, because I'm a sound Nazi, I'm able to take these clips of just, like, pretty much any everyday conversation and turn them into, like, just little songs. Here you go. Why don't you have a listen?
I ain't super pip. I ain't super pip like that. I ain't super pip. I ain't super pip.
I ain't super pip. That is Kilrathi.
That is hot.
Saying he ain't super pimp like that.
Oh, he's getting the crowbar out of his bag now.
Where's my key?
Here. I lent you this.
Oh, no.
Oh, sweet.
Well, it ain't really your fault.
Good. It's no spec, you know.
This isn't turning into a massacre on the radio here.
Oh, no.
There you go.
It's all in good fun. Yeah, Slade and DMAD were begging me to do that practice, and I'm like,
I didn't say
you.
A word.
Yeah,
I was just sitting there.
Don't worry, at the next one, we'll get somebody else.
Oh yeah,
fucking Echo one.
Oh, we don't have enough clips on him yet.
Oh, we shall.
Oh, we definitely shall.
Yo, give Echo a call when we head back later. Okay.
I can't get in touch with Echo. I can probably get in touch with Dale. Get in touch with Red Dragon. Hack the planet.
Anyway, Skype signs 1,000,000th paid VoIP user.
Wow.
It's not bad.
Did you do the Skype Out thing?
Yeah. Nice. I didn't know that many people actually used Skype Out. I always just figured it was all peer-to-peer users.
Well, I mean, they're both when you use Skype Out, because you still use peer-to-peer for free. And
right.
You're paying, what, 2 cents a minute for outbounds and stuff? Which is cheap as dirt when you're calling, like, China. Or is it just U.S.?
Make some calls
don't know.
To my girlfriend's fiance.
How you doing? Good day, you fucker! Click. Anyway. Well, that's the only thing that sucks about VoIP, doesn't it? Like, if you're using Skype, you usually have, like, a headset hooked up to your computer or something.
Right.
So you don't get the wonderful you can hang up on someone forcefully effect. It's more like
unless you get virtual sound cart and play the sound effect before you disconnect the call.
There you go. That's what
indeed
we're doing. Click.
Because I am super pimp like that.
Oh, you suck.
And now here's an article that Karathi's probably thinking of right now because of me playing that little song. A man has been jailed for 5 years for firing a miniature gun disguised as a mobile phone handset.
That is...
What?
That's pretty pimp right there.
Go on.
Two bullets from the miniature weapon were fired last July in a street in Nottingham. Manchester-based Leon Ellison, 26, admitted firing the weapon, but said he did it after being stabbed in the back after a late-night scuffle. Nottingham Crown Court was told that Ellison adopted a gangster-style pose before firing the weapon. Whatever. Okay, here's a question. What the hell's a gangster-style pose?
A gangster-style pose?
Gangster what?
Okay, here, read this. It describes it as him having a gangster-style pose before firing the weapon.
Son.
Isai.
Probably like that. You gotta turn the gun to the side.
For those who can't see, Kilrathi is now shooting at Slick with the fake gun.
I would have missed.
I would have missed on purpose.
Or he would have grazed the shoulder, but whatever.
It's a flesh wound.
It's a flesh wound. Oh, jeez.
I've never seen anybody move that fast. Not fast enough. I wonder if anybody knows where that's from.
Gee.
Is it the color purple?
Sorry. Only on the inside. It turns red on the out.
Wow. Sorry, I had to. Anyway.
Oh, okay. What else we got going on?
I don't know. Let's have DMAT tell us what
yeah,
else is going on.
Yeah, read the last one.
Yeah.
It's a paper. It's white. And it has a lot of words on it.
In English.
Anything else?
What language is it?
It looks English, but it's... very leet. You know, Slicko tends to actually write in leet. Now,
I do?
In case you don't know what leet is, just go to Microsoft.com and they'll tell you exactly how Slicko speaks.
Because I am super pimp like that. Yeah.
Microsoft will teach you leet in 15 minutes or less.
Well, they spelled prawn right.
Eventually.
With a zero.
Yeah, they
eventually.
After we mentioned it like
well,
a couple
end.
Times.
Here you go. I explained the paper the way it is, you know. And
what type of paper is it?
The way only D.
It's white. It's about I'd say 98% you know recycled paper.
Maybe.
Probably.
Might be recycled. I don't know.
Bleached.
Anyway, maybe Slade will have better luck reading.
I can't read.
I don't know what this is.
I'm Russian.
It's small damn print. That's what it is.
What, are you trying to save on ink? You cheat.
No. No, half the article's printed with huge... I think when Firefox prints, it tries to keep it...
As minimalist as possible?
It, it seems to.
My lord. Where's the microscope?
First time I ever tried printing with Firefox.
Let me borrow someone else's glasses to help glare on
me and Firefox have something in common.
Minimalist?
Yes.
Nice. You've seen my window manager that I was running, right? Mm-hmm. The well, I'm not running it now. I'm running Ice, but I was running Ion.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty.
Yes, I love that. Just get like
enlightenment.
Ah, E's good
too.
Yeah, but I can't wait till E17 comes out. I've been waiting for that since I like started on Linux.
Have you seen the videos?
No.
They have the background is scrolling, like the wallpaper image moves. It
oh
pans.
My god! You see, if you could, if there were a camera in here, you would see me drooling right about
it's,
now.
It's the sex.
Yeah.
It is that test sex. T-E-H-S-E-C-K. Sex. With an S.
With an S at the end, of course. You need that.
Give it
thank
the
you.
F.
Yes, with that. What an S over there.
What kind of system are you supposed to be running to actually run Enlightenment?
What do you do, just need decent 3D card support, like with OpenGL or GLX compatibility?
I could not see anybody running this without the hardware rendering. But
right,
it's quite possible. Because have you tried like some of the E17? You can get it into Slackware.
Yeah, I tried some builds of it, but. Really, didn't have it running too long since it was very buggy at that point. Last time I tried was probably around 6 months ago, maybe longer.
If then, more.
Yeah.
Well, in any case, I finally got the microscope out and read this damn article.
And what is it about?
Well, it's about F-Secure, actually, and they came up with an interesting new scanner. You know how, like, Spybot Search and Destroy and Adware have their adware and
removers
blocking. Like scanning tools, and you can scan and remove stuff. Well, F-Secure released a rootkit scanning tool.
Nice.
To help prevent against, you know, people rooting your box or installing other malicious programs or trojans that'll help root your box. Hmm?
Those bastards.
What, F-Secure or the bastards putting the rootkits in?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, well, supposedly it works for Windows XP 2000 and 2003 server. So anyone who runs a Windows box will have a lot of fun with this, because most likely you've been rooted a couple thousand times. Anyway, especially if you have a default install, like most people tend to do.
Well,
I take it that does it for news.
Hence the shirt. Anyway.
Oh, will that do it for news? I believe that does it.
Yeah, I think
okay.
That's it.
Just making sure.
Just one more quick thing, though.
And that is?
Actually, you know how iTunes charges 99 cents a song?
Right.
Something important is going on. Someone's trying to make it so that it's 5 cents a song.
Ooh, undercutting. Does it happen to be Walmart?
No, actually.
No, it's some Russian servers, I'm sure.
No, it's not Russian servers. I think it's actually the people themselves. They have the idea, make it 5 cents a song, undercut the competition, and then charge a 1% sales tax.
It's like...
On, let's see, what was it exactly? On any PCs bought or ISP services?
I'm sorry, I have just soiled myself.
Think about that.
Okay, Kilrathi was just showing us the videos of
E17.
Oh!
That.
I have to change my pants.
That is
nice. Absolute hotness.
That's so horny.
That's beyond. Dude.
Who needs a girlfriend when you have enlightenment?
Oh, well, if you look at
that... What's the hardware requirements on that thing?
Anyway, let's get going on to the next section.
Okay, this news is done.
Yes, the news is very much so done. I would say it's about time for Distro of the Week. Now here's a distro that I know quite a bit about. Then again, anybody who has done an install of this more than once has to know quite a bit about it. Gentoo Linux.
Oh, yeah.
Gentoo.
Well, I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
Yes.
It's all right. It has certain strong points where it can have good usage, and of course it has certain weak points that can get on one's nerves.
All the time?
Yeah, well, sometimes all the time, sometimes other... Yeah, it really depends.
That's really
strange.
What the problem is, the dependencies. Honestly.
That's most of the time. But anyway, I'll explain. It takes quite some time to perform an install, which isn't straightforward at all. Even if you were to do what is called a Stage 3 install, there are still quite a few things that have to get done to get the box up and running. Of course, it can take hours to days to do
weeks
a Stage
even.
1 install. Yeah, half a week. I've
tried it on the
on
Pentium 1.
Shit.
Yeah, weeks.
With this CC, I've installed.
20 hours.
Wow. It is a source-based distro, so of course it's going to take a while. during the process of installing packages to the new system, it will compile the source of the program. While it allows the opportunity to fine-tune the compile time flags for each package, as well as what exactly the package will be built to do in some cases, it can take quite some time. To install a package is very easy once you have the system up. Simply type emerge and then the package name. What's with the background?
Which you can always look through your portage list to see what's in there and what you can get.
Right.
And what you can't, which is nice.
Of course, there are plenty of options for the emerge command, but I'm not going to go into them right now. That's like a whole episode. Where
right there, yeah. Emerge is its own show.
Yeah. I don't know, Gentoo seems to be one hack fixing another hack making a distro. Because seriously, every package that there is for Gentoo has at least like two or three packages. Patches, not packages. Every package, like most of the mainstream packages, have like are like patched to hell.
Yeah, right. You see like the package install, and then like six patches apply, and then another package for the next dependency. Same thing happens. So on and so forth.
Well, I've been running Gentoo off and on since I got this laptop, so...
Okay.
It's been, like, since... It'll be a year real soon. So...
Anyway, there...
finish up and we'll
Besides the time that goes into compiling, another downside to Gentoo is that, well, being a source-based distro, things can get broken pretty easily. Anybody agree with that?
Yeah.
You don't know what I mean? Well,
give me an example.
Okay, you're developing for Gentoo. You're a developer, let's say, or even just a maintainer of something that's gets built on Gentoo. How do you know that the patches that you have and everything you have is going to work on absolutely everybody's box that tries to run Gentoo? Because Gentoo runs on everybody's box, but will each individual package that you try to install? No, that's where masking and all that stuff comes into play. However, sometimes it's not always exact and whatnot. And also, if you've ever had it running emerge sync, which actually syncs up your portage tree, and then wait a couple weeks, maybe like a month or so, before doing that again, just the way it emerges the packages, since it wasn't sequential, may mess things up a touch.
Mm.
And also, Etsy update, if you don't know what you're doing, you can really screw things up.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody's had that happen to them.
No, I had, what was it? Having blocked and masked packages.
Actually, I'm sorry I have to cut you off, but that concludes this week's BaseNet Radio. We're running low on time.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. We hope you have enjoyed the show. If you have any questions, comments, or even a suggestion to a new section, send us an email. Send us email to basenet@slickzero.net. If you're listening to this on DDP Hack Radio, up next is Binary Revolution Radio. Have a good week.
I ain't super pimp.